Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Never before, or at least not since I was in grade school. And then there was that time on the nursery school playground. Have I been so aware of the color of my skin? Brown, not white. And that I am a woman, not a man. Never before, or at least I can't remember a time, have I felt that the America I believe in and that I thought we all believed in is actually not the America that everyone believes in. It's enough to make me want to crawl up in a ball and disappear or just cry myself to sleep for a long, long time. These verses were written in response to video footage taken last weekend of a group of some 200 people gathered at a conference in D.C. Those gathered were members and supporters of the alt-right movement and were electrified by the event's main speaker, who gave fiery voice to ideas and ideals of white nationalist supremacy. Words that I thought were words of the past, not the present. Words that I never imagined I would ever hear spoken aloud at an organized conference in our nation's capital in the year 2016. But there he was, and there they were, and there were those specter-like arms raised in that Nazi-esque salute, in a room, in a building, only a few blocks away from the White House. The America I believe in, and that I thought we all believed in, is actually not the America that everyone believes in. Lines of verse so often convey what lines of prose cannot. Take what we just heard from the prophet Isaiah a few minutes ago. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." O America, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. O Christians, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. As Americans, we find ourselves in this post-election, pre-inaugural limbo. Some of us continue to walk around, drifting in and out of a post-traumatic, shell-shocked kind of state, despondent, depressed, discouraged. Others are trying to be brave, stoic, to take a more pragmatic, long-term view. Some are alarmed, adrift, aghast. Others resolute, fired up, determined. Still others are cautiously optimistic, even hopeful. And there are those who are exultant, excited, and energized. Given the complexity of our inner landscapes, we may find ourselves cycling through a mixture of emotions through the course of the week or even a day, depending on the moment, who we've talked to, what we've read or haven't yet read. As Christians, we find ourselves in this post-Thanksgiving, pre-Christmas limbo that is Advent. Some of us launch into a frenzy of activity, making lists, buying presents, planning, filling our calendars with events and occasions. Others stand stalwart against the consumer cultural winds and take a more measured approach, accepting the church's invitation to slow down as best one can, to accept God's invitation to be still and know that I am God. For some, the joy and excitement of the season electrifies and invigorates. For others, this outward joy only serves to underscore feelings of loneliness, isolation, and grief, of especially missing beloved whom we see no longer or who are away from us. And given the complexity of our inner landscapes, we may find ourselves cycling through a mixture of these emotions through the course of the week or even a day, depending on the moment. Be kind. A philosopher is thought to have once said, "For everyone you meet is fighting a battle that you know nothing about." And so as Americans and as Christians, during the season of limbo that we find ourselves in together, we wait for light to shine through the darkness. We wait for hope to soar amidst despair. We wait for salvation to redeem our brokenness and suffering yet again and again and again. But this is not a passive waiting. Nor is it a go to sleep and wake me up in a few years and let me know how it all turns out kind of thing, however tempting this might be. This is an active waiting, an energized waiting, a pregnant waiting, the kind of waiting that happens when something or someone is about to be born anew, created again, made manifest, and it is within our hands to help determine how and what is being born. The darkness of Advent is a darkness that is slowly but surely turning towards the brightness of day, one candle at a time, just as surely as the light of dawn follows the night. And we need reminding today as ever before that this fire and this light that we are waiting for is not somewhere out there, but rather it burns brightly somewhere in here and in here and in here. Among us, in our very hearts, in our very flesh, this is the message of the incarnation. This is the good news that God is with us and within us, working in our midst, in and through our inner and outer battles. And our job is to be awake, to be vigilant, to pay attention, and to not grow complacent or weary. We are to actively seek and see how and where God is already at work, or listen for how God is calling us, even begging us to step in and get in the game and to engage. God is working his purpose out as year succeeds to year. God is working his purpose out, and the time is drawing near. Nearer and nearer draws the time that shall surely be, when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. And so how are we to wait? How are we to prepare? What are we to do? Put on the armor of light, we hear. Put on our Lord Jesus Christ. These words may sound dramatic, epic, the stuff of saga and mythic lore of being a hero or heroine slaying dragons, if only in an everyday sort of way, and in fact, they are. Take, for example, one of many disturbing, distressing accounts I've recently read, this one of a woman in a hijab being targeted and harassed by two men in a parking lot because of what she was wearing and the religion she represented. She was visibly shaking and terrified, unable to move. Others stood by watching and waiting. And then another man, a stranger, approached, took in and understood what was happening, and stood beside this woman, put his arm around her, and told the two other men to please go away and leave her alone. They addressed him with more nasty words, and the man stood firm, his arm in solidarity around the woman, repeated what he had said with an additional warning that he would call 911 on his cell phone if they persisted. So the two harassers left. The woman then broke down into tears, the stranger's arm and armor of light around her. Put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. These words may sound dramatic, epic, the stuff of saga and mythic lore of being a hero or a heroine, if only in an everyday sort of way, and in fact they are. And it may be even simpler, as basic as asking about the lobsters in Maine. No, I have not lost my place or lost my mind. Putting on the armor of light and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ may be as simple as asking about the lobsters in Maine. Let me explain. A neighbor told me of her family's recent Thanksgiving gathering, where her mother finally met her sister's boyfriend for the first time after many years of their being together. You see, their mother had blamed this man, had harbored resentment and deep bitterness and even hatred towards him. She blamed him for breaking up her daughter's marriage and had absolutely refused to meet him. Until finally, several days ago, she agreed at the last minute to come to Thanksgiving dinner. Over dinner, the mother and the boyfriend sat across from one another at the Thanksgiving table. And the mother, who had heard that he was from Maine, leaned across the table, smiled, and asked him, "So what makes the lobsters in Maine so good?" He smiled back and said, "It's the water." One can only imagine the inner journey and roads that each had traveled, the dragons that each had to slay, to finally meet one another over dinner, what the mother had to shed and cast off, to show up and just be present. Putting on the armor of light, putting on Christ, can be as simple as asking about the lobsters in Maine. This Tuesday is Giving Tuesday, and people all across our nation are going to be engaging in acts of kindness and service, including 1,000 people here in Baltimore through Thread, doing acts of kindness and service here in our own city. Our Paul's Place Christmas trees are full of ornaments with the ages and genders of children at Paul's Place who could use a little cheer. Govins and the Ark Preschool are asking for coats and warm mittens. Boots for Baltimore is ready. Loaves and Fishes is up and going. There are 1,000 points and millions of ways to be candles of light in our world today, in our city and in our country. Put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. "The arc of history is long," a brother once said, "and bends towards justice. How long, O Lord, must we wait?" And so, in the waiting, we labor and work more intense and together, only together. We know this work. It is the same as it ever was and ever will be. to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, a freedom to choose, to embody the better angels of our nature for us and for our salvation, if only now, in this moment, with you and you and you. Amen.